This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm fine. The weather's just up and down.
Well,
but, mainly in the 40s and 30s,
Yeah. We're still
overnight.
In January. I mean, geez, you know, it won't be too long before we're planning Easter celebrations, hopefully.
We'll be planning. You're always thinking ahead. That's one thing about you.
Yeah.
You're always 3 months ahead.
See, I'm looking for better times. You know, springtime is a wonderful time for the weather. It gets a little, up and down, like you say, but it starts to get a little bit warm. And then we have all the springtime flowers and the springtime birds, something to look forward to, and the Easter candy. So
yeah. It's amazing how you get so far ahead.
Yeah. Some would say it's a problem and not really amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Oh my gosh. But let's just give out the phone number since you're so far ahead.
Let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. 877-55. Let me start over. 877-588-3330. Boy, on Saturday morning, we were just not quite awake. I thought we were. But maybe we're not quite there yet.
Well, see, now I've got Easter candy on the brain, so who knows how this is going to go?
Who knows how this morning could go?
We should also
We might go
a little bit off the deep end. We should mention your website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and people can go there and find lots of information. And you found that as you talk to people, a lot of new investors will come in and say, hey, we went to your website. We saw that numbers that people have made, profits, things like that. We read up about the investment and the program, and there's a lot of stuff. And they really say that there's a lot of valuable information on there, right? You get a lot of great feedback.
There is. And we had another maturity this week. It came in early. It was pancreatic cancer, which always comes in early. It was down for 37 months. And I always tell people, if it says 37 months, do not believe it on pancreatic cancer. And, of course, it came in a lot earlier than that because pancreatic cancer, is a short-term cancer. It's not a long-term cancer.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we had a lot of good people in it, and they'll be getting paid in about 6 to 8 weeks. So that's a good thing for the week.
Yeah, that's good news.
It is good news. And the other good news is people are making money. They are investing with us. We're having a lot of people come in right now and investing. They just don't trust the stock market right now. They want to be diversified. They don't want to have all their money over there at the stock market, where if we do have a crash, that their money will go down and be taken from them.
Yeah.
They want to be sure they have a solid investment to go to.
What are they saying? Are they still expecting, because I know sometimes when a lot of people, like the experts, the predictor people, they look ahead and they say, hey, we have this on the horizon and this and then this and then this. And it could mean, some instability, and it could mean, there could be another, event is what they called it at one time. I think it was the end of December. They were talking something about that. Do they still say that now, or is it still uncertain?
Well,
they're
saying that 2021, there could still be a big event that could affect everybody's money and where your money is. And they're saying, where do you have your money? Do you have it in safety? So, I don't know whether it'll happen or not. You and I don't know. But they're still saying in 2021, there could be a big event that's going to affect everybody's money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always good to have some money positioned in a safety net.
Yeah.
You know, if you're 60, 65 years old, you want to be sure your money is safe. I mean, you don't want to take too many risks, I don't think. And I think that's why so many people right now are coming to us. One of the gentlemen that came to us 30 days ago, I guess it's been now, his wife used to have an account with us. She made quite a bit of money with us, and she passed away. So then he waited, you know, 3 or 4 years after her death to come to us, and he said, I want to put some money with you. My wife made a lot of money with you, and I want to get to safety.
Wow, 3 or 4 years.
So, yeah, uh-huh. Men are slow now. You know men don't just come right away.
I've heard.
I mean, they're a little bit slow on uptake. You know, they think about it a long, long time before they come. And every time I get an email from somebody wanting to come in, they'll say, I've been listening to you for years.
Yeah.
That's what they always say. I've been listening to you for years. And I go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's never, I just heard you today, and I'm coming in. You know?
It takes a long time, I think, to kind of sink in. You know, they always say that, you know, what does it take, like 21 days to start a new habit or something like that? They say that, you know, a lot of times when you see some kind of an ad pop up, it takes, you know, several times to sink in. And I think people just kind of slowly take in the information, and then all of a sudden, and I don't know if there's like some kind of an event or something like that, or if they have, you know, some kind of a revelation, but somehow they quote unquote wake up one day and it's just like, hey, I need to find better investments. Do people, when they come to you, do they say, hey, you know, I just woke up and I need to do something different? Or what's the feedback? What's the thing that triggers them to make the change?
Well, they always say, you know, I've been listening to you for years. I'm now ready to do it. I'm now ready. That seems to be the mostly they say, I'm now ready. They didn't think they were ready before, or something happened in their business or with their IRA or their 401k, and they need to make a move. A lot of companies have sold out. That makes people move their money to us. A lot of them, the company said, we'll no longer handle your IRAs, and that's a big deal. If they suddenly say, you're going to have to move your money, you know, we're not going to be doing IRAs anymore. And the companies that have sold, the new owners are saying, no, we're not going to do a 401k for you. We don't want to be involved in that. So those people bring their money over. And then people that just, you know, they're 60 years old or 65, and they're saying, I want my money to be safe. I need to be in a different investment. And I'll say, do you know how it works? Yes, we've been listening to you for a long time. So, you know, we go over it again. We make sure they understand, and then they sign up, as I said. And I've had some people that their relatives have been with me a long, long time. They signed up this last month. I mean, we've had a lot of people come, and for different reasons, you know, they're just now doing it.
It almost seems like it's a situation where people have just naturally gone into, say, the stock market or something that I guess people don't really necessarily think about. It's just kind of what you do when you try to invest and you try to grow your money and you start out with wealth management. It's like that's where a lot of people start, and then it seems like a lot of people tend to swing for the fences. They're like, "Man, I'm going to go for the aggressive stocks. I'm going to try to, you know, make as much money as I can in a big hurry." And it seems like a lot of people just don't really get that traction, and they just don't. They never find that quote unquote the big one that makes them a lot of money fast. And so it seems like people might be saying, you know, hey, maybe it is time. Let's take a more of a conservative route. You know, let's get over into life settlements. And at least that way we know that the growth is steady and it's slow, but it's steady and it's conservative. So I think the worry of, you know, not getting the big one or the big fast overnight return like in the stock market, I think once that starts to fade away and they say, hey, this is really a more of a practical, sensible investment, it seems like that might be one of the things that helps get people converted.
Well, and you know what I noticed on all, it seems like all the maturities, it's the same group most of the time. It's the people that invest day in and day out. They're always in the investment, and seems like their names keep coming up. You know, when I look to see who's in that policy, it seems like the regular investors are always in it, and they've always got a new policy maturing. Mm-hmm. And I do notice that about them.
And that, you say, is the key to making the program work. It's not designed for people to get into one policy and then all of a sudden, boom, they're ready for retirement. This is a plan. This is a strategy. This is something that people should plan on being in for a few years, not only to start growing their money, but the more policies they're in, the faster it grows. So the trajectory can change depending on how, what level, I guess, of investment people are in. Right? Am I saying that
right?
That's
exactly right. But if you invest day in and day out, it works out. Mm-hmm. The numbers will work for you. You can't have two or three policies get in, get back out, and just stay in cash. If you're in cash, you're not going to make any money.
Yeah.
But if you, you know, if you stay in and you work it every year, you know, it's going to double in 7 or 8 years. But you have to have several policies, and most of mine have a lot of policies. And they're putting more money in it all the time. And our largest stockholder, so to speak, client the other day said, you know, I want 30 policies.
Whoa.
He said, I intend to have 30. At the rate he's going, he's going to have 30.
Really?
Yeah. He said, you know, he wants to have 30.
That has to be a tremendous return.
It is. And,
wow.
You know, he doesn't have that many now. He's probably got 20, and probably around 20. So, you know, it's a big portfolio. He's always got something maturing.
I know.
And
most
of my regular clients have something maturing all the time.
And that's kind of the point, is to, you know, really, as you know, some policies are maturing, turn around, reinvest in others. So it's almost kind of like a giant leapfrog effect. But once that gets established, I would imagine the trajectory of returns probably gets quite a bit steeper. As if we were to look at like a bar graph or something like that, I would imagine more profits come in, more investments, which means more profits, and it's almost like this like a catch 22 that's just designed and set up to make people more money more aggressively. So when people, you know, say, oh, it's slow and conservative, it doesn't have to be. It just depends on how much people are investing at the time.
That's right. And, you know, we know it works. It's been working a lot of years. You know, we've been doing this a long time now. So, you know, we see the trends, and we see, you know, how the cancer policies work. We see, you know, how the life expectancies work, which ones we think are the best, and which policies we don't think are good. And, you know, we turn policies down every day because we don't think they're as good as the others. And they must have, you know, cancer right now, and they must be in treatment for it right now. And it needs to be a stage four.
And the reason it's stage four is because when people look at, you know, investing in a life settlement, you know, somebody wants to sell their policy, somebody comes in and buys it, you in this case, what people invest in makes a big difference. So it's not just any kind of, you know, random, you know, policy that you're buying. It's not even just any old random cancer policy that you're buying. It's even, if we take it one step further, not even any old random stage four cancer. I mean, you're very, very specific about the types of policies that you even bid on, because those are the most profitable, right?
Yes, and remember, if it's not profitable, our clients won't make any money. So, you know, it's up to us to make sure they're in the very best policies that we can find, that we can buy, and that it's the timing is right, that it's, you know, as short term as we can get. You know, we don't do anything over 36 months, and we're not like other companies. We don't do 5 years or 7 years. You know, we do 12 months, 18 months, 24, 30, and 36. That's the ones we do. And it works. It's been working for us for a long, long time.
So you're really hyper-focused on stage 4 cancer, specific types of stage 4 cancer, because we're looking at shorter policies. So people get their money back. They make money faster When the policy matures, they get paid. So that is faster. Profit margins, how are those affected by the specific types of stage four? Or are they?
Well,
maybe they're not.
Of course, you know, it's 1% a month. So if it's a 12-month policy, you're going to make 12%. If it's 24 months, you'll make 24. And 30, you'll make that much. And this policy that came in early, they're going to make over 30% on that, by the way.
Wow.
Yes. Because I looked it up to see who all was in it, what their profit was, and since it's coming in early, you know, that is a good profit.
Yeah, it is. So, and let's say what? So I'm just going to run some simple math here, just because I want to put it in real perspective, because I think a lot of people understand the concept. It's just when you translate into, you know, some kind of a practical example, the numbers really hit home when people hear it. So say you have $100,000 investment. Somebody's in for $100,000.
Sure.
Say it's a 30 months is probably not practical. What if we say like 24? Would that be a reasonable?
Yeah, 24 is a reasonable amount. We have a lot of them that are 24.
Okay. So you got a $100,000 investment at 24%, 1% a month. So that means your profit is $24,000. That's just one policy. But you say people are on in an average of, say, 10 maybe?
Yeah, I would say most people have got maybe 10. On an average, let's figure an average probably of 10.
Okay. And I know these are just generic numbers and it's just a hypothetical situation and they change. But say you've got 10 policies at $24,000 profit, that's it's almost $250,000 that we're talking about for a couple of simple investments.
Remember that not all those are going to pay at the same time.
Sure, yeah.
Remember that. That's going to be over a two-year period.
Yeah.
So over a two-year period, you could make $250,000.
Yeah.
But now let's see. There's going to be three of them that are going to go long. Mm-hmm. So you're going to figure that three of them won't pay off in 24. They're going to pay off in 36.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have two of them are going to be early. Four of them are going to be on time. And then you'll have the others that are going to be late. So you figure it that way. That's the way I do it.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's a law of averages, really. Some go over,
yes,
some are on time.
You've got to average it out, and it'll work every time.
Well, that kind of, it seems like, I mean, if that's an actual practical, general type of example, it seems like it's almost a no-brainer. It's like, my God, you know that that's what you're going to make as opposed to the stock market in, you know, 2.5-3 years. I don't imagine people's profit margins are alike of that because there's so many ups and downs. There's gains and losses. My guess is probably people aren't seeing those same kinds of returns in Wall Street. Are you hearing the same types of things, or am I looking at
it? Well,
right?
I don't know. A lot of people, say, well, their portfolio's up right now. But you have to look back on their portfolio like we do on this and say, okay, what have you really made in the last 5 years? How much of it was positive over a five-year period? Probably not a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though this year is positive, they've had a lot of years that it wasn't positive.
Yeah.
And then if you figure their fees are like 1.5% on some of those accounts.
Yeah.
And our fees are $250 a year on their account.
See, that just makes more sense.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it's
huge.
It
makes a lot of sense. And people always say, well, what are the fees? It's $250 a year per account.
There's no second shoe. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, well, if this happens, it changes. No, it's $250. That's it.
It's $250 a year. And there's, now, if you want to do stocks, they'll charge you for it. But we don't do stocks. So, you know, since we don't do stocks and we don't do mutual funds, none of those fees apply to my customers. Like, we had Nevada Trust call a new customer the other day because she was concerned about fees. And he said, look, we have a deal with FaZe clients. It's $250 a year, period. No more. He just simply told her, you know, We have an agreement. Fay's clients, $250 a year.
So between Fay's, between fees and between other unpredictable things, is it fair to say, and I've never characterized it like this before, but is it fair to say that a life settlement, specifically the ones that you're doing, it's almost as if the unpredictable variables have been removed from the investment?
I would say most of the variables have been removed. You always have variables, mm-hmm. but a lot of them have been removed. A lot of the risk has been removed. That's the good thing about our deal, is we've removed most of the risk.
That's true. There are three big risks that people
there
need to know about.
There is three big risks. The biggest risk is it can go over. You always have to be prepared for a policy to go over. And our clients are really good on this. They check the premium. I had somebody that didn't go in a policy this week because they said, Fay, I think the premium is more than I want to pay. Well, that's only if it goes over, because we've escrowed an extra 12 months. So, and by the way, the one that came in this week, we had escrowed a long way out. We had escrowed over 40 months.
Wow.
And here it came in like 18 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they never paid one dime in premium. Most of them, you don't pay a premium, but you do have to be prepared. It could go over. So you always should know what the premium is. And we always, when we send out an invitation, we tell you how much the premium will be, where there won't be any surprises.
So people know ahead of time, hey, if this happens, this is what kicks in. You know, you may have to pay this much in premiums. They know that ahead of time. And there's not a lot of opportunities from what I can think of that includes so many of these known factors. You know, they know what they're going to make. They know roughly when they're going to make it. If it goes over, they know exactly what they're going to have to pay in premiums. It's all laid out, like literally on a spreadsheet, and it doesn't change. It doesn't, nothing's, I mean, if it goes over for, you know, 5 months, say, it's the same as if it were to go over, you know, a year, or if it were to come under. And that's another thing. If it comes in before, say it's a 24-month policy, if it comes in early, they still make the full 24%.
You're going to make the same amount. If it comes in early, it's the same amount. If it comes in on time, it's the same amount. It is. If it's late, it's the same amount. If it's late, however, you've had to pay some premium if it went over that 12 months. If not, it still didn't cost you anything. So it doesn't matter. You're going to get paid if it's a 24-month. You're going to make 24%. It doesn't matter if it's early, on time, or if it's late. You always get your money. You always get your principal back. You always get your interest back. And you can't say that for the stock market, that you always get your principal and interest, because you don't always get your principal and the interest back.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's the first risk. That's the biggest one, which seems like
that's
you've got so many things. I guess place guards in effect. So it seems like it's so well planned out. It's a very small risk, relatively speaking. So what's the second one?
The second risk is it's not liquid during that time, naturally. If you put your money in a policy, you can't get the money back until it matures. And then you can move the money around or whatever you need to do. But it's not liquid during that time. So you always need to know that. The third risk, the least risk of all, is if a life insurance company ever went under, it would delay your payment. But we haven't ever had one in Texas go under. We haven't had one nationally in years because, as I always say, the premium income is so great, somebody's standing there ready to buy it. And we've only had one in the last 5 years that was in trouble, and it was bought, I think, in 34 days.
Oh, wow, that's fast.
Yes, it was. But there's always people love to buy insurance companies. They want that premium income, and so they're always looking for one.
For reserves, don't you say that they have reserves for all policies at all times?
All policies have to have reserves. You have to have reserves, or you can't even stay in business. So every policy has a reserve in case they had to pay out on all of these at one time. They could do it. So every life insurance company can only invest in certain things. The holding company can invest in anything, but the actual life insurance company has to have it almost all liquid.
You know, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. I'm trying to poke holes in it, trying to find the what's the downside. And it's just, it seems like no matter how many angles I try to go at it, there's some kind of measure in place that it's like, well, that argument is out the window. So what is the downside of a life settlement? Is there one? I'm trying to find.
The only downside to me is it can go over. You know, and you don't get your money as quick. You may not get your money for 2 to 3 years on that policy when you were thinking you were going to get it in 24 months.
Yeah.
Or if you thought you were going to get it in 18 if it goes over. But they're doing a better job all the time. 21st, Fasano, they're doing a better job all the time on being right on these. And, of course, you know, we go back every once in a while and do a study to see how many are on time, how many are late, what percentage, and what percent are on time.
I assume you probably don't have you don't have those numbers in front of you, but I assume they're probably really good for as far as, you know, very few go over, I would imagine. But then again, you know, we're still looking at the long-term averages. So as people do this over, you know, 5, 7, 10 years or however long they do it, we're still looking at the law of averages. And so people don't have to get up in the middle of the night and wonder, do they have any of their portfolio left? They're still climbing. They're still growing wealth. They're still investing, and they don't have to worry that the whole bottom has fallen out like they may have done in the past with other things.
That's right. So you don't have to get up and check it. It's not like the stock market. It doesn't matter what happens in politics. It doesn't matter what happens around the world. It will not affect your investment. That's the best thing of all, is your investment is not affected by anything that happens in the news, because that's what affects the stock market, is the news. Every time they read something or see something, the stocks can plummet, they can go up, they can go sideways on you. But in this, nothing affects the price. It's set in stone. Whatever the guy that bought the life insurance policy originally, what he signed up for is what the insurance company is going to pay to our clients. The face amount is always paid out. They're not going to discount it. They're not going to say, oh, you know, we're having a sale today. You don't get all your money back.
We're having a sale.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. So that's the good thing about this investment.
And people look at it, I'm sure, probably from a devil's advocate point of view, especially when they come in as a new investor and they're trying to ask questions, trying to understand it. What's the biggest question that you do get from new investors? What are their concerns?
I think the main thing is, how soon do I get paid? You know, and I always tell them, you get paid when the policy matures. And then they say, okay, what kind of policies can I get in? What maturities can I get? And we tell them, you can have it really, really short, or you can have it longer. And, of course, you know, my favorite is the 24 to 30 month. Because when those come in early, you know, I like getting that little bit extra on the investment. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of people, I've got several people that want to do short term, 18 months. They're going to do 18 months. They're not going to do anything longer than that. And different people have different thoughts. The other day, this week, we did 3 policies, and it was amazing to me which ones they picked. I had a client, a new client. Well, I don't particularly like this policy. Well, what is you don't like about it, you know? And you have to walk them through it sometimes. You know, you have to say, okay, look at it. How long have they had the cancer? When was it discovered? How's it gotten worse? Has it spread everywhere? Is it in all different parts? You know, we had some this last week that were in so many different parts. I said, I don't even know if that person's going to live long enough to get the policy issued.
Oh, wow.
You know, it started out in one place. It was in 3 different places. And that is a sign that cancer, you know, has spread too much. So, you know, new people reading all that sometimes don't get all that. But people have been with us a while. They do. They see that that started in 18, you know, that they operated. It wasn't successful. And it came back again right after surgery. And now it has moved to some other places. And they're also obese. So they read all that and they know it's a good policy and they jump right in.
Yeah, and you're touching on something that we don't always go into in very much detail, but I think it all lends to people looking for confidence in the policy itself. How do I know as an investor that this is going to be a good policy? How do I know it's going to be profitable? How do I, you know, that it's going to, you know, come in, you know, when they reasonably think it will or close to it? So as you go through, as you navigate through the assessment policy, because you don't always bid on anything that just is at the very top says stage four. It's not just an automatic thing. You go through them and look for different things. So what are some of the key factors that you look at inside a stage four policy that says, hey, this is either going to be good or, you know, we should probably just bypass this one?
Well, first of all, look and see how much pain medication they're on. If they're at a 10, you know, the pain is so bad that they're on everything they can get. So look at what kind of pain medication, look at if they're on chemo right now, if they're on radiation. Some of them are on chemo and radiation. Some of them are immunology therapy. Look and see what they're on and what kind of treatments, and if the treatment is ongoing. If that treatment is not ongoing, they're not very sick. If it says they're all finished, well, I don't think they're very sick. But if they're in the middle of chemo, if they're in the middle of radiation, you know how sick they really are. And if it is moved around, if this is metastasized in a lot of different locations, their chance of survival is not very good. And then read what the doctors say. If the doctors say, we give them 24 months or we give them 18 months, you know, why are they giving it to them? Because they're obese. They've got all these other side things. And when they tried to resection, it was not successful. And it always says if it was successful when they resected, or was it unsuccessful, they had to stop in the middle of the surgery. So all this is important when people have cancer.
Wow.
And then if it's breast cancer, and we've done two more breast cancers, and, you know, we've been very successful with those. We've had three go over in all these years. And on breast cancer, look to see if they've gone to Mexico, if they've gone to Europe, if they're taking all these crazy treatments. If they are, they're not going to live long. Now, if they're doing regular treatment, look and see how many times they've been operated on.
Okay.
Or if it's spread to the other breast, or if it's spread, you know, to lungs, wherever. So that's really important. There's so many things on these reports that are really, really important.
Okay. It seems like a really streamlined process. We'll get into a little bit about, you know, we won't go into all the details, but just kind of generally speaking, we'll kind of get into some of the timeline things as far as, you know, how long it takes to get into a policy and things like that, because it is really a lifelong investment opportunity that a lot of people do, not because they have to, but because they find that they make so much money and so they just keep going with it. We'll get into some of that here in just a few minutes, but for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's all about pies.
Oh, one of my favorite things in the whole world is pie.
Let me tell you something. Did you know that we actually have a city in Texas that is the pie capital of Texas?
Of course. I should have known, but I didn't, but it doesn't surprise me.
Kyle, Texas is the pie capital of the state.
Really?
In October, or Labor Day, rather, they have pie in the sky. They have everything at that time. They have zip lines. They have everything in the world. They have the biggest celebration you ever heard of in Kyle, Texas.
Oh, boy.
It's famous for a lot of things. But I went and said, okay, Texas, give me a list of the best pie places in the state. And the list is like this. the Blue Bonnet Cafe in Marble Falls.
Ooh.
Now, they recommended it highly for pies. Been in business since 29. The Coffee Cup Cafe in Chico. Been in business 50 years. They make 16 kinds of pies.
Really?
Now then, they have become so famous down there that their pie dough is at H-E-B, folks.
You kidding me?
You can buy it packaged at H-E-B.
Mm.
Now, do you believe that?
Yeah, you know where I'm going next.
Yes, and it said everybody should take a trip, a day trip or a weekend, and go to all these pie places, see who has the best, because there is some pies I'd never even heard of. I mean, I'm telling you. Now, my favorite is Norma's in Dallas, Texas. They make a mile-high pie.
Really?
Their meringue is higher than any I've ever seen. And their slogan is, eat pie first, because you never know what's going to happen. They always say that. Eat your pie first, folks. I mean, it's important. Eat pie. If you don't have room for anything else, that's tough, you know?
If you can't eat your chicken, it's fine, as long as your pie is gone.
That's right. And then we have the Pie Peddlers in Glen Rose. But Norma's started out in Oak Cliff years and years ago. And we would all drive all the way to Oak Cliff to get their food and their pies. And now they're all over the place. They've opened like five places. There's one real close to my office. We order from there all the time. And you can always tell if it's going to have old-fashioned cooking. If it says cafe on it rather than restaurant, you're at an old-fashioned place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it says cafe, it's an old-fashioned place. And the other thing is that if they have chicken and dressing on Sunday,
oh, yes,
that's a sign that you're at an old-fashioned great place.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, if it says chicken and dressing on Sunday.
Oh,
wow.
Man. That's the best.
Yeah. And they have, you know, these places I'm thinking about, they have pot roast. I mean, they have meatloaf. Mm. They have everything you ever thought of. And they have, you know, everything in the world. I mean, it's an amazing thing. But start with the pie.
Oh.
Have the pie. Of course, I would recommend a chocolate pie first.
That's my favorite.
It is my favorite. A chocolate pie with all that meringue on it. Oh, my gosh. Now, the other thing, this coffee cup place in Chico, several years ago, I think in 14, they put out a way to make your meringue last longer, and they give it out now and tell you how to do that.
Really?
And they have, you can buy these little packets from them, and it will make your meringue stiffer and stand up.
Really? Interesting.
But can you imagine? 16 flavors
I can't.
Of pie.
I couldn't even.
I mean, I didn't know there was 16 kinds.
Nah, me neither. Yeah, apple, cherry, chocolate, peach, blueberry.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to run out.
That's it. I mean, we know about all those. Apple and peach and pecan, chocolate, coconut, lemon. What else is there?
Key lime.
Key lime, which is very, very good. I don't know, but 16? That is a lot of pie.
I know.
A lot of pie.
I think we got, what, 8? 7?
Yeah, I mean, you and I got 8, and there's still another 8 to go that we don't even know which ones they are.
Yeah, we've lost it. Wow. That's got to be just a pie heaven. It's got to be magical.
Can you imagine going into these places, and if you look at, go to the website, like Norma's, some of these others, and it shows a mile-high meringue on their pies.
Mm.
You can see it right there in the case.
Man.
And you can just pick up a whole pie and take it home.
Or one of each.
One of each. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you had one of each?
I can. I'm actually imagining it right now.
We would weigh so much we couldn't get through the door.
Yeah, but it would be a whole lot of fun getting there.
It would be so much fun getting there. It wouldn't matter. It just wouldn't matter. But I did not know that we had a place that is the pie capital of Texas.
I didn't know that either, but it, for some reason, it doesn't surprise me.
Because, you know, Texas has a capital for each thing. You know, there's something big in each place.
Oh, my gosh, we have everything.
We have everything. And to think that we have this many places that have been named all over the state for pies, I mean, I'm as in shock.
Yeah.
To find that we had a pie capital, that we, you know, have all these places that have been in business since the 20s and the 50s that make the best pies that you ever heard of.
And you're right. Those places, those are the best kind. You know, when you can find like chicken and gravy on Sundays, you know you're in the right place. It's not just, you know, some kind of a factory where, it's, you know, something came out of an assembly line. It's, there's actual people in the back that are making these things. And that's when it's always the best.
And they have these old, and we don't even call them chefs. They have these old cooks have been there forever with them that are so great that can cook anything. Norma's has carrots that are the best I've ever had in my whole life. And you wouldn't think a lowly carrot would be anything to talk about. But it's almost like a sweet potato.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I mean, they have things you wouldn't even believe. And I always try maybe once a week to order it for the entire office.
Mm.
And say, let's just have something from Norma's.
No. And I'm sure all of a sudden they get real happy, don't they?
They do, but always have pie first, according to Norma.
It's a good slogan. You have to approach life that way.
That's right. If you approach life that way, you're going to be happier. You're going to live longer. If not, it'll seem like it's longer.
Where do you come down on fried pies? Do you like fried pies?
I do like fried pies, but not like I do real pie.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people make fried pies, and they're famous for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not anything wrong with a fried pie. But I just want a real pie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, especially a nice chocolate one with big meringue on it.
Yes. Mm. Now, when I go and buy pies, I'll buy three at least. I want one of every kind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? First, I'm going to get the chocolate. Then I may get a nice lemon pie and then a pecan pie, maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Love lemon pie, too.
Mm. Oh, lemon pie is so great.
Oh.
And that's another favorite. They're light, they're airy, and look at that meringue.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's so deceptive about those types of pies. Anytime you throw a meringue on it, it feels healthier because you don't feel like stuffed and full and heavy. But then when you add like the lightness of the lemon or even like a chocolate, you know, they're not like really dense. And so you feel like it's lighter and it almost feels like diet pie.
That's right. And we can tell ourselves that as we eat that second piece of chocolate pie, it's like, my gosh, it's so healthy.
Yeah. Second piece or third or fourth or fifth?
Well, I know two, but I don't think I could go more than two. Wow. So I would have to skip the dinner then. I just say, okay, it's a pie day. We're having pie. We're not having dinner.
And now you're living by the slogan.
That's right. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. When pie becomes supper, everybody's happy.
That's exactly right.
I don't know anybody's ever complained that said, hey, let's have pie for dinner. Nobody's ever said no.
I think that'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Just say, you know, we're having pie tonight, and everybody would show up.
Yeah.
They will not miss dinner, I can tell you that.
It'll be like a buffet of pies, kind of like a pizza
buffet,
but with pie instead.
And just lay it out there, and oh, my goodness, what a buffet.
Yeah, see? That's what you're going to do. That's what you need to do now for Thanksgiving for this year.
Okay, just line the pies up.
Yeah, no more turkey, more dressing, no more. No, we're going to start a new Thanksgiving tradition. Instead of all the meats and the fixings and all that, we're just going to have a pie buffet for Thanksgiving.
Wow, I love it already. This is going to be a great deal.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Except,
yeah, it's going to be great. I can tell you that already.
I would show up when that's probably not it's probably not what we all want. So we may want to rethink that.
I don't think so.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. And the website, which is so important, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And people can go there and find all kinds of information. One of the things that I know people like about the website is that they read the testimonials. They read people's experiences from, you know, from their own perspective, firsthand. They put it in their own words. And there are a lot of really, really great comments about people who have already been through the program. You know, they're already involved in the investment. They've already, you know, been doing it for years and years. So you're really, really getting some great, valuable feedback. So as we talk about the investment itself, how does this work? Because I know that, you know, people come in and they're like, okay, well, you know, show me what policies you've got. And then I'm kind of making this generic. I know it's not exactly like this, but it's like, okay, we've got this policy and here is, you know, what, you know, here's all the reports. And I know we used to talk about page 14, which was the 14th page in the...
Now it's right there on the end.
We don't know what to call
it
now.
Like it used to be.
But there's a ton of information that's on there that people can see before they even get into an investment or a policy. So what kinds of information are, first of all, on that sheet that is so important? What do people look at?
Well, it tells you, first of all, who the client is that we're buying the policy from. It tells what kind of cancer it is. It tells what the face amount of the policy. It tells you what life insurance company we're getting this from. So you know that it's an A-rated or above policy. You know the face amount. You know what the investment is. You know what you're going to make. It gives you that. It tells you if it goes over, what it's going to cost, what the premium would be. So everything you need to know is on that page, and you have to sign that page.
So when people come in and they say, I don't really like this policy, why, what, where are they coming from for something like that?
Very seldom when we send it out does somebody say, well, I'm going to decline it. But every once in a while, somebody will. They'll have some reason they think is legitimate for declining it. And we always tell people, you have to like the policy. If you don't, pass on it. But we have very few people that pass on it. But every once in a while, somebody will. I don't always understand it. A lot of them, if it's somebody that I think needs to be in that policy, I'll call them. I'll say, look, why are you declining this? This is a good policy. And I may go over the whole thing with them. And I do that sometimes. And then they usually go ahead and go in the policy. And some of them, I just say, okay, if you don't like the policy, that's fine. But some of them, if I really want them to go in it, I'll call them and say, let me go over the LE with you and see if I can change your mind.
So maybe just a matter of, you know, you've done this so long, you see something in the policy that maybe, I guess, an untrained eye might not see.
That's right.
I think.
And then yesterday, I was talking with my people at the office, and I told them that I was going to turn this policy down, and they go, well, why are you turning it down? I said, well, y'all obviously didn't read it very good because it said there is no cancer right now. There is no sign of cancer. We're not buying something when the cancer isn't even showing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to really be looking for all this and read it carefully. Read it more than once. That's what I do. I read it four or five times lots of times and be sure in my head that I've got it right.
As people invest over time, by the time they get to their second, third, fourth, tenth policy, whatever, do they read it quite as much, or do they just say, "Well, if you say it's great, then we're just going to go with it. It's worked so far, so you know we're just going to."
Yeah, and if it's a certain kind, they may just say, "Put me in it." Hmm. If it's pancreatic, most people just say, "Put me in it." They're not even going to question it,
yeah,
because they've been in so many pancreatic cancers, they know it pays off quick. They know it'll pay off early. And so if it's pancreatic, I have some that have a standing order. Any pancreatic cancer, put me in it.
Just automatic.
It's automatic. Then I have some people that there's other ones that they say, if you get one of those, put me in it. A lot of men like the prostate cancer ones, and they'll say, I'll go in that.
Okay.
So different people have different thoughts.
Well, I know you also had a neoblastoma, which is rare, but you had one of those, what was it, late
that
last
was,
year?
in December, and we put a lot of people in it. And it's in escrow right now. We have not got it closed yet. It's in the legal department, and hopefully we'll have that closed in 2 weeks.
Cool. Awesome.
We're in escrow. We just haven't closed it yet.
Yeah. All right. So how does the process work? When people come in, say I'm a new investor, what should I expect as I come in? What should I bring with me? What should I invest?
Well, bring your statements. If it's in the stock market, you have to bring the statements because money has to be transferred from there. If you're ready to go, you need to bring a check with you. If you're writing a check to go into your account to open it, your driver's license, you always have to have that. Then we haven't talked about, you have to be qualified. You have to either make $200,000 a year or you have to be worth $1 million without your home in order to invest in these. And that's not us, that is the government. It's a government mandate that you be accredited to be in this particular investment. So we always want to make sure you're accredited. Then our deal is you must have at least $100,000 to invest. You can't make a small investment in this.
Is that, in your expert opinion, is that a good starting point, or should people plan to do a little bit more than that? What's a good starting point?
Everybody does more than that, usually. But lots of times somebody will come in with $100,000, and then within 30 to 45 days they're putting more money in because they want to do more policies. And because it's hard if you've only got two policies, it's very hard. But if you've got 6, 8, 10, it gets better all the time. So a lot of people will start with 100, and then when we call them and say, okay, I've got this other policy, do you want in? You'll have to wire money. And so they do. They'll wire more money to their accounts. But right before Christmas, we had a lot of people putting extra money in their accounts because they wanted to do a lot more investments. So we had a lot of people do that just before the end of the year.
Okay. So what's the timeline look like for an average new investor, say? People who've already been with you, they already know. But for somebody who's new, what's the timeline look like?
Okay. If they come in this week, it'll take them a week to 2 weeks to get invested.
Okay.
It'll depend. If it's an IRA, it takes longer. If they're writing a check, they can be invested within a week.
So is it one of these things where they should come in expecting there's just policies waiting to be filled, or would they be waiting for policies to come in?
Right now we've got some that we're investing in. We've got two policies right now we're putting people in that we have left. We have two left that we're doing that we're going to try to get finalized.
Okay. And then you're always bidding on new policies. You're always,
every day.
It's always turning over. So over time, people invest. I guess a lot of people get ready for retirement. A lot of people go in with the attitude of, hey, I'm going to invest because I'm going to get ready for retirement. But then over time, it seems like a good opportunity so that people may not want to, or, and you could probably explain this a little bit better, but people may not want to stop after retirement. I know a lot of people have.
No, everybody's going into it as they retire right now. They're putting their money in and retiring at the same time. So they're going to be in it for 10, 15 years because they're putting it in as they retire. They're not putting it in real early. They're 60, 65. And then a lot of them right now are retiring and doing this as they retire. We had several people this week put money with us. They just left their company. Their final day was a week ago.
Really? Now, that's
yes.
That's new. I always thought that people were getting ready for retirement. But
no, right now they are retiring. It's not getting ready. They're doing it. Because a lot of them, the company gave them early outs. The companies are downsizing out here. And so they retired, and then they put their money with us.
Wow, that's a totally different approach. That was news. That was an eye opener for me. Wow.
Yeah, they're putting their money in as they retire, not getting ready to retire. They are retiring.
Now, what about somebody though who's not accredited? Because they still want to do something. What would you recommend for somebody in that situation?
I would recommend annuities. They've been around, as I always say, over 100 years. We represent the best annuity companies in America. They pay good. They're reputable. They've been in business 100 years. They're worth $50 billion.
Oh, geez.
So, you know, you always want to go in with a company that's very solid, and these are solid as they can be. They're A and AA rated. You know, there's a lot of B-rated companies out there, but we're not doing business with them. We never have. We've always put people in an A and AA rated company and big. We want big companies where their money we know will work efficiently.
Is there anything about the policy that we haven't covered this morning? Anything we need to know?
Well, I wouldn't think so. I think they should know everything we know, that it's solid, that it'll work. You just have to come and see us and get involved.
Okay. And finally, what's your outlook for the next several months as far as policy availability, as far as opportunities to make money?
I think we'll have more than we've ever had, because we started out the year with big policies for the first time. We started out doing a lot of policies. We've already done over $5 million in policies since the end of the year.
What? Five million?
We've already done $5 million.
Wait a minute. We're still in January.
I know. We've already done $5 million. That's just the way it is.
Wow. Jeez.
Yes.
Look at you hitting
never
me with all these surprises.
Never before in our lifetime, but we've already done over $5 million.
Because usually I know that it used to be in past years we've talked that, you know, this was a little bit of a slower time because of other companies. They had a huge budgets. They had to get rid of them, you know, really quick. But, wow, it seems like opportunities are here earlier than
they
normal.
Are here early this year. We've got plenty of policies for the first time. We're bidding policies every day, and we've got millions on the books. So,
wow.
It's a wonderful time for us.
That is really exciting. All right, so for people to get started, what do they need to do? What's your phone number to set up a meeting? What needs to happen?
They need to call or send an email to me, send an email over, and say, you know, I need to talk to you. I want to go in a policy. They need to either call or email. That's what they should do immediately.
Okay. And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.